You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm PJ Dorn, and this week on Pit Pass, we have superstar John Hopkins. Pit Pass now is sponsored by Moto America, America's premier racing association. There are many ways that you can follow Moto America online, offline, on TV, through their website. They've really made it easy for us fans, you and I both, to check out the action, whether we can get to a racetrack, which is, of course, the best way, or whether we've got it online. You can stream it. You can go to MotoAmerica.com. MotoAmerica Live Plus is their all-day streaming, so you can watch all the action from every single race. It's been incredible. I've been able to watch at least one weekend of racing that way. I encourage you to get out there and check it out. They're also on a number of networks such as NBCSN, MAV-TV, and FS2. They've got coverage everywhere for everyone. Please check them out. They've done a beautiful job of bringing and presenting the most beautiful sport, in my opinion, to us, the viewers. The latest news, sadly, in motorcycle racing that I can come up with for us to talk about today, or report at least, is that the Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Series has unfortunately been postponed again due to COVID. They're doing the right thing, and we applaud them. So sadly, we don't have any start date for that season to report on. We will, of course, keep you up to date, and we encourage you to go to our blog, where you'll have links to the appropriate organizations that will be able to give you the latest news throughout the week about what's going on in that series. We're all excited for the Pro Motocross Outdoor season to start after Eli Tomac's triumphant season in Supercross. We're looking forward to seeing how the outdoor season plays off. My co-host Dave Selecki and I will, of course, be reporting on it as that situation develops, and we look forward to giving you more information. This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, in Grand Prix motorcycle racing, the current top division, of course, is called MotoGP and has been since 2002. Before MotoGP, what was the premier class called? We'll be back with that answer later after we talk to John. Welcome to Pit Pass today. Racing legend, in my opinion, John Hopkins, former MotoGP racer, former British Superbike racer, and still current badass who is in the world of motorcycle racing. John Hopkins, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And as far as the intro, yeah, it's MotoGP, World Superbike, British Superbike, Moto America. It's pretty much every championship and every bike you can imagine over 20-plus years. So definitely a fair bit of racing.
Yeah, John, you continue to amaze at least myself and many around you. Now, your latest contribution in what has been a spectacular career is it looks like you're helping young racers who maybe need a little guidance. You're giving it to them, and it seems as though wherever you go, a difference is made. What's the secret to what you're doing for these kids? Because you are working with a number of young racers currently, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, it was a project that we basically started over this last winter. Obviously, I've always had an interest with helping out young kids, just trying to give back some of the experience and knowledge I've gathered over all the years. And unfortunately, I had to stop racing at the end of 2017, where I had a massive accident. I ended up shattering both knees and broke a few vertebrae on my back, and which accumulated to, not just from that injury, but over the career of injuries, that was my 37th operation, unfortunately. And I mean, I had every intention of still going back and trying to make it back to racing again, but unfortunately, I just never got the full range of motion back in my right knee. I only have 60% range of motion in my right knee, so it's pretty much impossible, basically, to fit on a race bike, a road racing race bike. And the last 2 years have been basically constant rehabilitation with the knees, and then coming to the realization that unfortunately I was going to have to look into the actual life after racing. But, you know, I still obviously wanted to be involved with the industry, and, you know, it all came about, like I said, over this last winter. And I ended up getting an offer, and basically a job offer, to be a rider coach to Joe Roberts on the American Racing Moto 2 team. And I started getting connected with the team owner, Bud Bull, and, you know, I started working with Joe, and everything started to progress really well. And then as we started to connect and, you know, work together, then I actually formed the plan to obviously start the American Racing Academy, because, you know, that's the one thing lacking in America, unfortunately, is a really good competitive path up through the ranks into the world championship of racing. I mean, the level of racing over there is insane, with the amount of projects and the academies and everything they have, you know, European and worldwide base. So, you know, we just wanted to try and make our mark and do everything we could to help young American talent. And so, like I said, we started the American Racing Academy. There wasn't a whole lot we could do. Unfortunately, when we started to get things off the ground, the whole coronavirus hit, and we really like to collaborate and, you know, eventually work with Moto America and Dorna and MotoGP by getting a full-blown junior cup within Moto America that can boost them straight into a Moto 3 or, you know, European style world championship. But we had to get our feet off the ground. So we started, you know, with the Evoli Cup that was already going to be running this year in the Moto America series in conjunction. So, you know, we ended up getting four kids that, you know, we had a search around, and, you know, we spoke to Evoli, we spoke to Moto America, and, you know, there was four kids that seemed quite good. And so we brought them on board, and right now we're helping them out through the Evoli Cup this season.
And it's been an impressive, although brief, start to the season again for the aforementioned COVID and the impact it's having on racing. I feel as though we're pretty lucky that we are, in fact, getting to race. We're seeing around the globe, as well as here in the U.S., some racing's just not yet possible, but we've seen a couple of road races, and we're going to see more. Are you going to be at every single one of these races, John? I presume that's probably in the cards.
It's going to be tough, unfortunately, because a few of them are in conjunction and during the same weekends as the MotoGP races. And, you know, right now, I'm, you know, one of my main priorities as well is obviously being the rider coach to the American Racing Moto 2 team within MotoGP, and working with Joe Roberts, and obviously trying to get him to reach his full maximum potential. And I think he can be a really strong championship contender this year. So I am due to attend every one of the MotoGP races this year. So I'm actually leaving in a few days for Spain to Jerez for the reboot of the 2020 season, starting in Jerez in a week and a half. So I'm due to fly out there in a few days. So every race that I can make, I am planning to, but, you know, we're still going to be, you know, working quite hard. We're going to actually bring on some more rider coaches as well for the kids. I think Roger Hayden is going to be coming on board to help out. Tony Elias is helping a lot of the kids out here on the West Coast. So, you know, we're bringing a lot of riders in from around the country that obviously have a lot of experience, and, you know, they're going to be helping the kids out when we're over in Europe.
you've got a full plate for a guy who thought he was maybe done racing. It seems you're just as busy now. Are you enjoying this, John? I know that's not necessarily the reason to have the job, but are you enjoying doing it?
Honestly, I absolutely love it. You know, it is busy. That's for certain. I mean, I'm busier now than I think, well, easily by far than I ever was when I was racing. But I enjoy it. You know, not only working with Joe, like I said at the beginning of the year, and then having him have such a vast improvement and be able to express and turn over the knowledge and experience that I've gathered. And fortunately, myself and Joe actually had really similar riding styles and similar strengths and weaknesses. So, you know, everything I was able to pass on to him was luckily a instant improvement. And he went to Qatar and had an amazing round there where he was, you know, pretty much you've set the new lap record. He was on pole and, you know, just a second or two away from the podium. That in itself, I think I found, you know, just as, if not more rewarding than, you know, anything in my racing career, you know, just to be able to pass over that knowledge and to see those instant improvements and, you know, then working with the kids and just seeing the excitement, the interest and, you know, the motivation that these kids have is unbelievable. And it's really good and really rewarding, like I said, for me, because I came from a family where, you know, we were, you know, lower to middle class family. My dad was a truck driver and, you know, my family put everything they absolutely had into my young motorcycle racing career. And, you know, unfortunately, they could only do so much. So if it wasn't for the help of, you know, multiple people throughout my young career, there's no way I would have ever made it to professional racing, let alone, you know, all the way up to MotoGP. So being able to give back is really high on my list and something I really, really love doing.
Well, John, it's altruistic and it's incredible, and it helps the guys that you are helping along with the sport in its entirety. You're adding to the sport. Who did this? You bring up the very good point. It takes help to do this professionally. Who would you look back and say really helped you similarly in your early days coming up through the ranks?
The first one that really helped out, and I mean, was crucial, especially it was because my dad passed away when I was at the age of 12. I was just getting into to mini bike road racing at the time. And obviously, I was winning quite regularly and doing really, really well on the mini road race circuit here in Southern California. Fortunately, the owner of the actual series that was running the series at the time, he started helping me out enormously by supplying me all my bikes. You know, he allowed my mom and my sister to work, and they were able to do the scoring and work snack bars and so forth to allow me free entry. And then he supplied all my bikes. He supplied all my 50s, my 80s, and then all the way up until my 125 racing, and helped me, you know, get into to 125 racing at the local track here at Willow Springs by taking me a couple times a month there to track days and every race every once a month. And then when it came time to obviously start looking at a professional career at the age 15, that's when John Ulrich actually stepped in and first helped me out by supplying me a bike and full service and everything for the Aprilia Cup Challenge, which I managed to win the championship that year, and that got me a trip over to Italy and testing with the factory Aprilia team on the 125 team that they had there. And then we were off to the races. And John then, you know, gave me a contract to race for his Valvoline Emco Suzuki team at the time. That's what it was called. And I ended up winning two back-to-back championships for them, 16 and 17. And then that's when I directly went straight to MotoGP from there at the age of 18.
Yeah, the looking back, John, is on your career is it's a wonderful story, and how fast it progressed just speaks to the level of talent you had. Yeah, whenever you say John Ulrich's name, a racer says John Ulrich's name, it's usually he helped me in a meaningful way, and he just has a habit for it. We all know and respect everything he's done throughout the years in the road racing world, and now his son as well. So that's the kind of guy you easily can model some things after. what do you see as the future for this endeavor that you've started off so fantastically?
Yeah, no, thank you. I see big things coming out of it. I mean, you know, there's obviously no shortage of talent whatsoever here in America. And I mean, America has a history of some of the greatest, you know, American, you know, road racers there ever was. Unfortunately, you know, the sport's kind of gone down a little bit over the last, you know, decade with a lot of the manufacturers pulling out, and then the big financial crash of 2008 and 2009 and so forth. That really, really obviously hurt the manufacturers, you know, from supporting the sport. And, you know, it's been a struggle trying to get everything kicked back up since then. But Moto America are doing an amazing job at the moment. They obviously, you know, they got network television, so, you know, fans are able to watch it, you know, live on the TVs at least, you know, so that's a massive start. And, you know, we're hopefully starting to get manufacturers back interested. And then, hopefully we can just keep promoting and, you know, we're going to have to all work together and collaborate. And, you know, I know Dorna and MotoGP, those guys are desperate to obviously promote the sport here in America and obviously get it back, you know, to the way it was. And if not more, yeah, we're hopefully trying to just bring everyone in, get everyone collaborating, whether it's riders, industry, manufacturers and everything, and just promote the sport and help out in every way we can. And, you know, one of the biggest ways that we can do that is by seeing Americans competitively doing well in the world championships. And, you know, that's what we're aiming to do.
Well, it's a lofty goal, one that clearly is within the reach of individuals such as yourself, John. Your entire story is inspiring. The physical ailments, for our listeners who don't know, that you've had to endure and overcome are endless, it sometimes seems. I'm sure from your perspective more than anyone's, John, and your ability to continue to fight and never quit is exactly what makes racing racing. And being able to inspire other people and young men and girls as well about how to live that way is truly what it's all about. And just good on you for everything you're doing. I had a number of friends said you were very visible at Road America when they were up there most recently. And they said it was awesome to see you around. We all miss you, man. And it's really good to see you at a racetrack where you're doing what you're good at.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, being at a racetrack is like being home for me. You know, it's been my entire life. And, you know, being able to give back to a sport that's obviously given me so much, you know, and, you know, we wouldn't be doing what we were doing if it wasn't for the fans. So, you know, it was really good to obviously see the fans back at Road America. And yeah, it's good. I'm loving it. Like I said, it's something I really enjoy. It's something I'm really passionate about. And, yeah, unfortunately, I've had a few injuries over my career, but, you know, one of the mottos that, you know, my dad taught me as a young kid was to never give up. And, you know, I've always lived by that, you know, no matter what injuries I've had. Or, you know, I obviously feel like I'm probably the age of 60 or 70, you know, and I'm not even 40 yet, I'm 37, but it's worth it. You know, it's every bit of it's worth it. You know, everyone, you know, doctors and people I see and everyone, you know, they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, you're going to regret it. You're going to feel that when you feel older. I always tell them, look, I'm already feeling it, but, you know, it ain't going to stop me. And, you know, you always got to keep moving. So, yeah, I mean, it's something I'll have to deal with, like I said, with the injuries. And, you know, they get sore when I wake up in the morning. But, you know, for me, it's all worth it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, John Hopkins on Pit Pass. We really appreciate it. Is there anyone that you haven't mentioned you want to mention, sponsors or backers or anyone? I definitely want to give you the chance as this is the platform for it.
Well, just everyone on board, you know, with the obviously the American Racing Team and the American Racing Academy, you know, that we've got going right now. You know, it's myself, Eaton Butbull. We've brought on a girl that's helping out, Cecilia, and, you know, we're obviously, I've actually partnered Eaton as well at his management company, myself and Johnny Louch, who used to be my trainer throughout, you know, my entire majority of my MotoGP career. And he owns a couple gyms called the W training facilities out here in Southern California, which we're actually all partnered and looking to for. Yeah, we're going to be expanding across America and then eventually across the globe. And hopefully we can get this American Race Academy off the ground fully. And like I said, start getting more American kids out into the world championships. But no, I just want to say well done to all the kids that we're working with. You know, Kayla Yakov, one of the strongest girls I've ever seen at a on a motorcycle, who's racing with us. And you know, the rest of them are just amazing. Little Julian, Jesse James out here in California, and definitely Travis Horn, who's out here in California, the kid working with us. He had a tough race when we were back there at Moto America for his first round and got taken out in the heat race and ran off track. And, you know, he had that exact same never give up motto. He started at the back of the pack and made it all the way up to, it was fifth or fourth, but just off the podium. So just seeing stuff like that is inspiring to me. And that's about it. And just, you know, hopefully we can get this American Racing Academy as big as we want to get it, like I said.
Well, thank you again, John Hopkins, for joining us. And we look forward to seeing the outcomes of your efforts.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
This week's Pit Pass trivia question was, in Grand Prix motorcycle racing, the current top division, of course, is MotoGP, and that has been the case since the year 2002. Before that, what was the premier class called? And the answer is, it was the 500cc class. 500cc, and over the course of years, there were a lot of other classes. There was 250, there was 350, there was 125, there was even a 50cc GP class. And there are probably some classes that I don't know from the time before I was born. But the point is, there were a lot of them, and now we have at the very top, of course, MotoGP. Before that, it was the 500cc, and they were two-stroke motorcycles. We had a couple of years there as the four strokes came in where we had crossover, and both types of machines were competing on the track together in the premier class. And in the early days, a 500 might have even got a win over the four strokes, but it was clear pretty much from the beginning that the four stroke 1000s, or at the time 990s, were the wave of the future. And further trivia over the course of the years, as the bikes got insanely faster, the organizing bodies, the powers that be, tried to limit the top speed, and they did so by reducing the displacement of the top class to 800 cc's. That was a somewhat short-lived experiment where the 1000s were bumped down to 800s. Of course, it backfired on the organizing body, and the riders and the teams just developed a different way to get around a racetrack, and lap times continued to fall regardless of the displacement disadvantage. Ultimately, they brought it back to 1,000 cc's, and we have what is currently known as MotoGP. Coming up in the news, we have scheduled the Moto America race at Road Atlanta. That is July 31st through August the 2nd. We look forward to that race. We hope and encourage you to go out, watch that race live. If you're anywhere in the area, or if you're not, get their incredible race facility. They're going to have so much going on. Moto America puts on an entire show. You're going to have live music. You're going to have stuff for the kids. Camp out, have a good time, watch the races, see the entire program, meet these racers. They have a bunch of activities designed specifically to get you, the fan, down into the pits so that you can meet the stars of this sport. They're incredibly good human beings, and they love talking to fans. Every one of them knows without fans, they don't have a job racing, so they truly appreciate your presence and involvement. So get out and check out a race. In the AFT world, that's American Flat Track, They've got a doubleheader set up for July 17 through 18 in Barberville, Florida. So that's coming up relatively quickly. As we previously mentioned, unfortunately, there's not an announced start date for the Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Series, but we'll keep you advised. And again, check out our blog where you can get information about such things. It'll direct you to the appropriate sanctioning body so you can get the latest and greatest information. Thanks again to John Hopkins for joining us today on Pit Pass. He was an incredible interview and an inspiring human. We were so glad to talk to him. Thank you for tuning in. We truly appreciate it. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app where you'll get alerts when new episodes are uploaded. If you have a moment also, please rate and review us. We really appreciate it. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and of course, pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our all-new blog. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm PJ Doran. We look forward to talking to you next week, and hopefully we have some more racing to see.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcasts.